Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us. My name is Leslie Dach, and I'm the chair of Protect Our Care. And I also want to thank our two speakers today, Senator Jeanne Shaheen and Andy Slavitt. America is facing its greatest public health crisis in history. And unfortunately, because of the stance that this president has taken on the Affordable Care Act and on Medicaid, and his ongoing failure to provide the testing, masks and gowns and ventilators America needs in this crisis, more Americans are getting sick and more Americans will die from corona. Just a few facts before I turn this over to our speakers. About 28 million Americans are currently uninsured, have no health insurance. And according to experts, 7 million more became uninsured under President Trump. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation just a few days ago, up to 2 million uninsured Americans could require hospitalization and treatment for coronavirus at a cost that could range up to $41 billion. And of course, many others will go to the hospital for other reasons, just like pneumonia or other reasons during this time. Yet, inexplicably, President Trump has refused to allow the uninsured to get insurance on the federal exchanges under the ACA, even though a dozen states have done so and have seen thousands of people sign up. And the president's still in court trying to overturn the entire Affordable Care Act, which would throw 20 million Americans off their insurance in these troubled times and take pre-existing conditions protections away from 135 million Americans. And the Supreme Court will begin to receive briefs on this lawsuit as early as May 6th. And still, his administration is trying to end Medicaid expansion, which has been so important in states like New Hampshire, and to block grant Medicaid funds. Our speakers today have been in the forefront of protecting America's healthcare against these onslaughts, or in the forefront of trying to keep America safe today. Our first speaker, Senator Jeanne Shaheen, helped pass the Affordable Care Act, and she's been a champion of healthcare and a champion for New Hampshire her entire career. Frankly, there's no better leader or fighter on this issue. Senator Shaheen, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Leslie, and thank you for that introduction, very generous introduction. And I should also thank Protect Our Care. I've had a chance to meet with folks in New Hampshire to talk about some of the healthcare issues before we were faced with the coronavirus pandemic. So I know what great work they've been doing in New Hampshire and across the country to try and raise issues around healthcare and the need for people to have coverage for healthcare when they need it. Also pleased to be on with Andy Slavitt, who I had a chance to work with when he was the administrator for CMS in Washington under President Obama, and appreciate the great work that he has done. As you pointed out so well, Leslie, the coronavirus pandemic that we're facing is the worst crisis this country has faced in my lifetime, not just healthcare, but when we look at the economic destruction that is resulting from the pandemic, so many families and small businesses are being affected. Millions of Americans are being laid off every week. They're losing their employer-based health insurance, and that not just affects them, but for so many, it affects their spouses, their dependents, who are covered under that employer-based health care. And so many of the people who are losing their health care have pre-existing conditions. They have chronic illnesses. They need prescriptions in an ongoing way. They need to stay in touch with doctors, with the health care system. And they are facing anxiety, not just from losing their jobs, but now from an uncertain health care future. Congress, when we passed the three pieces of legislation in response to the coronavirus pandemic, tried to address the challenges that people are facing, not just in terms of health care, but also the economic challenges. We obviously have a lot of work to do as we implement those pieces of legislation. But I was pleased to see people work together to try and come up with solutions that would help people immediately. And obviously, that starts with health and safety of all Americans. That has to come first. And so it's disappointing to me to see that the president has refused to open up a special enrollment period under the Affordable Care Act. because it makes so much more sense to allow people to enroll in private health insurance to get their care covered. Now, what the White House wants to do is to take money from the dollars that we appropriated to help hospitals and frontline nursing homes, community health centers who are on the front lines of this pandemic. If we do that, that's going to take anywhere from $14 to $40 billion from that fund. Those are dollars that need to go to hospitals. We're already having hospitals in New Hampshire who are furloughing workers because they've taken such an economic hit. So it would make so much more sense to allow people to enroll under the Affordable Care Act, especially as we look at the economic impact, again, of what people are facing. Former chair of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, estimates that unemployment right now is actually around 12 to 13%. It may be even higher. In New Hampshire in the last 3 weeks, we've seen 100,000 people file for unemployment. That is a record number. And what we need to do is make sure those folks have some security as they go through this very trying period, and making sure that they know they're going to have health care when they need it is absolutely critical. And yet, what we've seen is the administration continues to push forward to try and overturn the Affordable Care Act, to wipe out health insurance coverage for millions and millions of Americans. It's time for the administration to move past its opposition to the Affordable Care Act and to do what's right for public health and safety, especially in this emergency that we're all facing. So thank you all again for joining the call, and I look forward to hearing questions.
Thank you very much, Senator, and thank you for all you're doing. This letter that you sent with, I guess, over two dozen or so of your colleagues urging that the administration do the right thing and let people enroll through the Affordable Care Act has made a difference in this conversation. So thank you for that leadership. I'd like to now introduce Andy Slavitt. Andy and I had a chance to spend over 2 years together around many conference tables, and Andy did a remarkable job as the acting administrator at CMS in making the Affordable Care Act work for millions of Americans and to strengthen Medicare and Medicaid, two programs that so many of us and our families rely on. And Andy didn't stop when he left public office. He's been a leader through USA Cares to help states help their citizens on healthcare, and has been an active and persuasive voice on all healthcare policy issues ever since. Andy, thanks for joining.
Thank you, Leslie, and thanks Protect Our Care for hosting this call. Nice to hear your voice, Senator Shaheen, and it's heartening to know that you are out there, as always, continuing to represent the interests of what this country needs. So first of all, I hope everybody is adjusting as best they can to this situation, and wish all of you and your families well. You know, the picture that's been painted is one that has gotten many Americans quite scared and disoriented. Scared because they may not know where their next meal is going to come from, how they're going to feed their family. Scared because they're seeing loved ones hospitalized and losing loved ones. Scared because of they're seeing untold numbers on TV and images, which is creating anxiety. It's creating all kinds of other concerns. People who have health issues of other kinds are worried that they're not able to get access to health care given the overcrowding. And it's an enormous opportunity to bring the country together and fight this together and unify. Unfortunately, that's not what's been happening out of the White House, and I urge the president to change not just his tone, but his approach to these to this current environment. People who are facing COVID-19 and the fear of catching something that's highly contagious should not have to spend 1 second worrying about the cost. They shouldn't have to spend time worrying about what will happen if they get it, and then the ACA is is eliminated, as President Trump is aiming to do, and therefore can't get coverage again. This is a time, I think, where many of us, including those in the Senate and the House, have decided to try the best they can to put politics aside and just do what's right for the American public. And so it is disheartening to see that rather than using this as a moment where we can make everybody healthier, when we can get everybody the care they need, that he's taking the opposite approach. There's some disturbing data outputs on top of even the things that we're seeing in front of us, namely that we could lose a large portion, maybe one in three of our rural hospitals, because of people not being able to pay when they come. We are also seeing potentially an emaciating of the primary care system, as they are not seeing the kind of healthcare, the routine healthcare needs that people have. And so in the face of this is an enormous opportunity for the president to say, we can fix these things by making sure that urging Medicaid states to expand Medicaid, by pushing to allow everybody to get access to coverage, and by just dropping the whole kind of political leader that he's been carrying for the ACA. I'll close with one thought that I hope resonates with you and others, which is that there's nothing like a pandemic to remind us that we're only as healthy as our least healthy neighbor. And if it wasn't important to you before that everyone around you had affordable health care coverage, think about that next time you're on a bus or on a train or on an airplane. We want to make sure that everybody can have access to affordable health care and can take care of themselves. It is not good for us if people are left behind. It is in our self-interest, in addition to our country's interest, to make sure that people are not left behind. And if there is really, in the face of a pandemic like this, it is astounding in some respects that there are people that refuse to see why this is a vital piece of keeping Americans healthy and keeping all of us healthy. And we will instead choose to pay trillions of dollars to cover this as a disaster and to pay for expenses in the hospital, rather than allowing people to just go to the doctor when they're not feeling well and have that paid for. That's a mistake. A mistake that needs to be remedied.
Andy, thank you for those remarks. I'll just close by saying that, as our speakers have, the Affordable Care Act works. It reduces the uninsured. It saves families money on their premium and gives them health and financial peace of mind. And in the midst of this crisis, the president needs to put his ideology and politics aside and do the right thing for the people of this country. And he has opportunities to do that. To think that in the midst of this, he would be in court trying to take health insurance away from 20 million Americans and pre-existing conditions protections from 135 million is inexplicable and unconscionable, and very, very easy for him to stop that attack. Once again, thanks, everyone. Whitney, do you want to see if our listeners have any questions?
At this time, if you have questions for any of our speakers, you can press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, if you have a question, please press *3 on your phone. All right, our first question is going to come from Jesse Hellman at The Hill. Jesse, you are live.
Hi, thanks for doing this call. My question is for Andy. If you were still at CMS, what would you do to make it easier for people who have lost their job-based coverage to sign up for plans on the ACA marketplace? I've heard people talk about waiving documentation requirements for qualifying for the special enrollment period and increasing funding for navigators and assisters. Do you agree with those suggestions, and is there anything else you would do?
I do. I mean, I would do almost everything different from what's being done right now. There is, if this is indeed wartime, as the president has said, and if indeed the president doesn't care for regulations and red tape, this is a perfect time to show that by essentially saying to Americans, we want to make sure you're covered, and we'll not only open up the exchanges, but we will reach out to all of the communities that are getting hit hard by this. And I think if it hasn't become a major story, it will, but people of color, people in urban environments, people with multi-generational families, they're getting especially hard hit at these moments. So you have to reopen up the assisters. You have to remove the barriers that Trump has put into place. You have to remove the doubt that this insurance is going to be there for them for the long term. And if you're not doing that, you're basically just impeding with people's lives.
Senator, do you have anything to add there?
No, I think, there are a whole range of things that I would like CMS to be doing, beginning with working harder to make sure that there are tests out there and that we have an antibody test to follow on the tests that can identify COVID-19. I talked to one of the community health centers in New Hampshire in the northern part of our state yesterday. They have five tests for a population of tens of thousands. That is just, at this point, as we're dealing with this pandemic, it's inconceivable to me that our entire healthcare apparatus in the federal government has not come together to ensure that communities can get the tests they need, and we can ensure that people who have COVID-19 are further isolated, that those people who have built up antibodies and we know are no longer at risk can better engage with their communities and go back to work at some point, because we are not going to be able to get past this pandemic until we're able to better determine who has had the coronavirus and who has built up the antibodies so that they're no longer contagious.
Thank you, Senator. That America still doesn't have the tests it needs to keep our people safe is just an outrage. Whitney, any other questions?
Yep. Our next question is going to come from Josie Albertson Grove at the New Hampshire Union Leader. Josie, you are live.
Hi there. I just wanted to see, this is maybe a really basic question about opening up an enrollment period, but isn't losing your job a qualifying life event? Why do we need a special enrollment period?
I'll just answer that quickly in the facts and then hand it over to Senator Shaheen. Yes, if you're unemployed, if you lose your job, you can go to the ACA. But as Andy and others have pointed out first, people need to know about that. And they need to understand it. And this is an administration that, that cut outreach in public education by 90% about enrollment. So the first thing they need to do, even in that circumstance, is to get on the airwaves and tell people this is available. Because, a high percentage of people who get their insurance on the ACA qualify for a subsidy and their insurance becomes affordable. But more importantly, or as importantly, there is no ability to get on the to go to the ACA now if you are uninsured. So you can go to the ACA if you lose your insurance. But if you're one of the 27 million Americans who are uninsured, you cannot get your insurance under the Affordable Care Act. And we need to open the Affordable Care Act so that people who are uninsured today can get the coverage they need at an affordable price and protect themselves and their families. But let me also hand it over to Senator Shaheen, since she's been a leader in this effort.
Well, I think you said it really well. But one of the things that Leslie pointed out is that the outreach that was so such an important part of the Affordable Care Act when it was passed, to let people know what was available, those navigators who could help people enroll, making sure people understood that they could get help so that all of the out-of-pocket costs were not coming from the individuals, but there was help available to people who couldn't afford to enroll. We need to restore those dollars. I've got legislation with several of my colleagues that would help do that so we could actually do the outreach. New Hampshire has fared fairly well because we've had a lot of people in the healthcare community in New Hampshire who made a point of trying to let people know when we had an open enrollment period. We were still down, I think, a couple of thousand people from the height of the enrollment in the Affordable Care Act. But as you pointed out, Josie, this is a crisis, and we need to take every opportunity to take advantage of helping people respond to this crisis, and giving them an opportunity to enroll under the Affordable Care Act is a way to provide that coverage, that peace of mind to people, that insurance, if they do get the coronavirus, that they've got the help they need. And longer-term help is really important. And it's also cost-effective. You know, my axiom is always, if you're not going to do something for the right reasons, you should do something because it makes economic sense. And this makes economic sense. It doesn't make sense to take the billions of dollars that are going to help keep our rural hospitals from closing and use it to provide health insurance coverage when people can get health insurance coverage on the market. So I think, you know, this is a time, as both Andy and Leslie have said so well, when the president and his administration needs to put aside their ideological opposition to the Affordable Care Act and do what's best for Americans and what's best for the country.
All right. Our next question is going to come from Jack Cohen at the National Journal. Jack, you are live.
Great. Thank you for doing this call. I appreciate it. Josie actually asked my question, so let me ask about, can you speak to the role of the Inspector General of Health and Human Services in assuring cooperation of the ACA exchanges or the broader response to COVID-19?
Would you like me to start? It's incredibly troubling to see that both the pattern of any reasonable oversight and any whistleblowing that occurs to save people's lives are immediately met with the same response from this administration. If we don't have oversight at a time like this, at a time when we're spending $2 trillion very rapidly, at a time when there are so many mistakes that can be made, it's critical. The Office of the Inspector General is not a gotcha role. It is not a role that the president should look at and say, this is someone who is my enemy. It's a role of protecting the American public and taxpayers to make sure that the things that taxpayers' money is getting spent on is indeed going to those things. And it is absolutely unreasonable that we don't have that check and balance in place. And I think, you know, sadly, he appears to be taking the opportunity of a crisis to lessen the focus on what he does and how he does it. And even in the best of times, with a different president, the Inspector General plays a critical function. But in this particular case, I think it's quite troubling, and particularly troubling that he has preempted a lot of their ability to do their work.
Well, and I would just point out that there was bipartisan support for the oversight that was in the CARES package. It passed 96-0 and passed the House overwhelmingly. And so this is the last I knew, both parties were very concerned about fiscal responsibility and making sure that taxpayer dollars are being spent wisely. So it is inexplicable to me why we would want to get rid of the person whose sole job is to ensure that things are being done appropriately and fiscally responsibly.
Thank you, Senator. Whitney, any other questions?
That was our last question for the day.
Well, I want to thank everybody, particularly our speakers, for joining us today to talk about these critical issues, and we hope, frankly, that the President will listen. Thank you, Whitney. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you.